Hello and welcome to The Outer Frame, the show where we talk about the movies that don't get talked about enough. I'm your host, Jason Sellers, and on this episode we will be discussing 2009 science fiction action militarized film, according to Wikipedia, Terminator Salvation. We will also be delving into some trailer trash talk and creating some Salvation sequels alliteration. But first, let me introduce the best Terminator who's in denial about being a Terminator that I know, Donnie Nelson.
I know who I am.
You're a man.
I wouldn't go that far.
What about I'm a human.
I'm not a machine.
I can choose. When he was given that speech at the end, I got a very Russell Crowe from Man of Steel vibe about I'm going to be free to choose to make decisions for myself. I don't have to follow your plan.
Yeah, I suppose. Sam Worthington is a very like Russell Crowe ultralight. People say like poor man's Russell Crowe and stuff like that. No, he's just like ultralight. He's like the Coke Zero Sugar of Russell Crowe. Sponsored.
You wish. I actually really like Sam Worthington. I just think that he has that case of picking the absolute shittiest movies that he could possibly be in. And that's what he does.
Yeah. He has a bad agent.
Not has he done bad, it?
What?
Go ahead.
He has almost as bad of an agent as Clive Owen, but still a better agent than Clive Owen. Because he continues to do things. It's just things that people aren't super like in the know or aware of.
Yeah. Or don't have any interest in watching.
Yeah.
All right. Donnie, before we get too far into this Terminator Salvation discussion, what is the worst thing that you saw this week?
The worst thing I saw this week was Midsommar. Midsommar is a movie that has come out this year, and I've been trying to catch up on some of the movies that have come out this year, because I really didn't go to the movie theater a whole bunch this year. And I figured that would be a good thing to watch. And it was interesting. It wasn't something that I loved, hence why it's the worst thing I watched this week. But it has the same issues, not as bad as Ari Aster's last movie, which was Hereditary, which I think like just couldn't choose by the end what it wanted to do, and some would say that kind of like left it having an unsettling feeling. But I just feel like it had two minds and it couldn't make it up. There are good parts of it. Like, Ari Aster is a competent filmmaker. Like, he's very good at, like, you know, actually constructing the scenes and the story. But I feel like he kind of just loses the thread at the end of both of his movies, Hereditary and Midsommar. Midsommar, I think, ends a little bit better than Hereditary did. In a way that you could say that a movie like that ends well.
I mean, in that at least one of the characters gets a somewhat happy ending.
Yeah, I would say that. Nobody really ends up happy at the end of Hereditary.
Except for all the literally every single extra in the movie.
Every single, yes. But I liked... I'm not gonna hate on Midsommar, but I liked it better than Hereditary, and it's just a, I don't know, it's a fun film. It's fun, good times. Go on.
Did you hear that he described it as? I think it was Ari Aster himself who called it the breakup movie of the summer.
He has described it as a breakup film, and I think there's a lot of people, I don't know if he can actually be credited with that, but it is definitely, like, it's the breakup movie of the year.
Yeah.
And so, I liked it to a certain extent. I thought the beginning was maybe the most unsettling thing. And then, as much as it's like, spoilers, a cult film, as in it is a movie about a cult, not a movie that is has a cult-like following. Like,
although I will tell you that if you do join any A24 Facebook fan groups, there are some people that have got some cult followings to this movie just based solely upon homemade costumes.
Yeah, I don't like it. But I would say, like, everything kind of went according to plan. Like, where Hereditary was kind of unexpected in the ways that it went, and, you know, to varying degrees, it kind of shocked you, like, every 10 minutes or so. Hereditary just kind of, like, you see the stuff coming from, like, 10 minutes away. It's just a matter of, like, the execution of the stuff, and that's the thing that's the most unsettling. But, yeah. That was the worst thing I watched this week.
All right. I always like it when you disagree with me on a movie, because I get to hear what's wrong with the things that I like. I'm sure you feel the same way. I say that not sarcastically at all.
Oh, I know. Some people might take it the wrong way, though.
I genuinely enjoy hearing differing opinions from my own. So take that, internet.
Ooh, you hate my favorite film? Let's talk.
The worst thing that I saw this week is a movie that I was very excited for when it was first announced, and then everybody I talked to who saw it hated it and described it as the worst thing that they'd ever seen. And I actually think we might have talked about it a little bit on last week's show, and then I randomly popped up on Hulu, and so I watched it, and oh boy, is it bad. It's much, much worse than I could have ever imagined. And I know you're dying to know what movie I could possibly be talking about. That film is Frank Miller's The Spirit.
No. Yeah.
Which, if you have not seen, is one of the most bonkers things that I have ever seen in, like, all the worst ways possible. This movie feels like one that should be made for, like, destined for cult status. That's, like, what it's trying to do.
Uh-huh.
But it fails on every single mark. Have you seen The Spirit?
I have seen The Spirit.
Okay, so you can testify to what I'm saying, that, like, it has a plot that makes little to no sense.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of dangling threads that never get explained. Most of the characters don't make any sense. They never fully explain why Samuel L. Jackson is dressed as a Nazi in that one scene. The spirit's powers are never fully defined. This fucking movie, man, makes no goddamn sense at all.
No, it doesn't follow its own logic, and also it doesn't follow the logic of what might have already been set up. Because The Spirit is not a property of Frank Miller. Frank Miller is adapting a property which is not his into a film in the style of the films that he, or like the comic book style that he's known for, which doesn't do it a whole bunch of favors. And
because this is a comic from like the 20s.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say. This is like a 20s serial.
Yeah, which would be something that I guess Frank Miller would probably have grown up on or something, or been more familiar with in his, like, childhood, and probably was a passion product of, or a passion project for him. But it's just, Frank Miller is not a good director.
No, he's not. There, there were parts of this film that just made me want to vomit. I don't, it was just so it's so confusing. The big fat bald man babies who are never, their origins are never fully explained, except that somehow they make them so that Samuel Jackson can send them on missions that he knows they're going to fail. Oh my god, this movie is so stupid. Like,
it's not good.
And then at the same time, though, like, I feel like there's got to be, like, the people that enjoy this movie have to be, like, a Frank Miller fan group. that are just like, you just don't understand what Frank Miller's going through.
Or they just, or honestly, they just really like Eva Mendez's butt.
It's possible too. That's right. She sits on the printer. and then he carries that around with him and he's like, have you seen this woman? Shows it to people. It's like, what the fuck?
Very good.
No, it's not.
In a bizarro land, this is an Oscar winner.
This is what I was gonna say. This feels like a combination of like a Jim Carrey movie this feels like if Dan Aykroyd wrote and directed a Batman or a Rorschach movie from Watchmen.
That's not
Donnie's
good.
Donnie's making a horrified face. But I don't know. I mean, I've recently in recent years come into when Dan I've witnessed some of the movies that Dan Aykroyd has had more creative control over, like Blues Brothers 2000 and Ghostbusters 2, and they're really bad, and they're usually really bad in a lot of the same ways. And this has a lot of those elements. I mean, the comedy doesn't work. It's either not funny or it's too obvious. I don't know. I mean, we could talk about this all day. It's just bad.
I don't want to.
This is one of those movies that I will place as I will forever be fascinated with because of how awful it is. So, yeah. That was the worst thing that I saw this week. Donnie, what was the best thing you saw this week?
The best thing I saw this week, I mean, head over heels, so much better than, you know, Midsommar, is the fourth Rambo film. Rambo.
What's wrong with you?
Rambo. The Rambo film that is the fourth in the installment of the Rambo films. What is wrong with me? What you really want to ask is what is horribly right with me, right, Jason? Because honestly, like, I know, like, it's a movie with no plot. It's just a Rambo film just for the sake of action and Stallone just wanting to look like a badass because he directed it. He wrote it. He did everything. Everything. He is Kojima. But this was like his coming back to the Rambo series, what he did after Rocky Balboa, because that was the big return of Rocky. And like, I really like Rocky Balboa, and
same.
Rambo kind of sits in the same like space as that, because they were made really close together too. Stallone just like really wanted to do his take on those characters, and then he did it, and then like those films, it like Rocky Balboa obviously a little bit more heartfelt and a little bit more character based. There's not like people getting murdered like every 5 minutes, but Rambo is a film where that does happen, and it is horribly violent, and it's almost like a story or a character completely detached from the first three films. Because if you watch the first three films and then you watch the fourth one, you kind of see where, like, that you could get to that point. But the first three films are, like, the first one is fairly serious. There's not a lot of bloodshed. The two next films, you know, First Blood Part 2 and just Rambo 3, they're kind of cartoonish in their violence. I think, like, they're a little bit, they're just trying to be kind of schlocky action films from the 80s and stuff. But this one is, like, Stallone really wanted to get gritty with it, and he's like, I don't really care if there's a whole bunch of a plot, and honestly, it's a super lean film, and it does exactly what it wants to do, and I can respect that a lot from a film. And honestly, any time that I see it on, I will gladly watch it just because, I don't know, there's a certain energy to it that you can't really deny, or at least I can't. You could probably deny it. And the reason why I watched it was because I'm kind of ramping up to watching Last Blood when it comes out, because I'm excited to see how you know, it kind of ends.
Ooh, I have a guess. He kills a bunch of people.
He kills a bunch of people. And from the trailer, he kills a bunch of people. And then it's over. On his ranch. Yeah. And it's not directed by Stallone. So, I really think he just wanted to do exactly what he wanted to do with the characters. And then he was just like, all right, someone else can direct these next movies. Like Creed and the next Rambo.
I don't know. Have you heard him? He wants to do another straight up Rocky movie.
He want what?
Yep, he's been talking about it.
Like in an old folks home?
No, in a cancer treatment center.
I don't even have words for you, Jason.
Really quickly, I just want to bring up one of the things that you and I thought were hilarious was that the original draft for Last Blood was supposed to be him fighting an alien. And what I think is so funny is that he turned that idea down because he was like, Rambo would never fight an alien or something like that. But he's still making that movie just under a different title. So
right,
fucking
which was,
stupid.
Well, honestly, which was wise because it's just going to be an adaptation because it's from a book or a novel that he has licensing for.
I think it's called Hunter or something like that.
Yeah, like The Hunt or something.
Yep. I also want to say that I am not, like, I don't hate the fourth Rambo movie. I do think it's probably the best sequel to First Blood. And I also quickly want to throw out, like, I hate Rambo 2 and Rambo 3.
They're
because
bad.
They are, and I love First Blood. Like, First Blood is one of my very favorite movies about coming home from war. And I think that it tells a very important, or it has a very important message. It tells an important story. I think that it's not, you know, he's become known as this, it's kind of a John McClane thing, right? Like, now Rambo is known as this over-the-top action hero, but at first he was just kind of a guy.
He's who just a dude.
Yeah, and he gets caught in a shitty circumstance, and PTSD takes over.
Yeah. Go to the Christmas party, have a few laughs.
But now he's like a bona fide action badass, which it just kind of feels like a parody of the first film, and it really bums me out because, like I said, I love First Blood, and I think it's an amazing movie, and it makes me upset because the rest of them are so bad and so stupid that it overshadows how great First Blood is. But what I was going to say is that one of the things that I know we both can agree on, and that one of the things that both, like, initially drew us to the fourth Rambo movie is that it shows a pretty graphic depiction of POWs and just kind of civilians caught in war who are prisoners. And I don't know that I've seen another movie that gets quite as graphic as Rambo 4 does. So if nothing else, there's that. So, like, it definitely has something to say. I just don't think that watching Stallone, who looks like he's made out of plastic and very old, running around the woods is the best way to communicate that message.
I don't know.
So
I have no problem with it. Sounds like a you problem, Jason.
Well, I can live with that. All right. The best thing that I saw this week was, as if you follow me on Letterboxd, you know that I have been on quite the Spike Lee train. I don't know.
Chugga 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 chugga.
Shut up. The last couple weeks, and so I watched Malcolm X for the first time today.
Wow.
Speaking of black Muslims, I also watched Ali for the first time today. Did not particularly care for Ali, but did care for Malcolm X. Was a little disappointed when I clicked play because I did not realize that movie was 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
However, it is, and I had never seen it before, and I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to. I thought it was really cool that some of the one of the things that I most enjoyed about it is that some of the longer segments are just kind of him speaking and giving speeches, and I really enjoyed that because a lot of times in political, I don't know, dramas like this, they kind of cut that stuff out about like what their messages actually were, or they, I don't know, they kind of cornball it in.
Yeah.
And
well, they're too obsessed with keeping a narrative going.
Exactly. And I really appreciated that this one took time to stop and let you hear, you know, Denzel, I mean, it's Denzel Washington, but hear Malcolm X's words. So that was something that I really appreciated. And I also thought, you know, Denzel Washington was really good in the movie. And they did a great job showing the, I don't know, I guess the different stages maybe that he goes through as Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, no, I really liked it. I was very, very surprised because I did not expect to enjoy this film as much as I did. So, that's all I have to say about that.
Cool.
Malcolm X.
It's one of those movies you can't really talk a whole bunch about. It's just like one of those things that you should probably just watch it.
Yeah, no, because like you said, they kind of skip the narrative, or a lot of the narrative elements. They don't really turn them into, you know, in a lot of musical biopics are really bad about this, where they're like, oh, if, in one of the, like in Bohemian Rhapsody, when Freddie Mercury's like, I want to be a singer, and then like the music's like, dun, 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 and it's like, oh man, if he gets behind a microphone, the whole world's gonna break loose.
I hate it.
And that's, I just want to be clear, like, that's not just a Bohemian Rhapsody thing. Just about every biopic has a moment like where something this, like that happens.
Yes, the other scene would be Straight Outta Compton, where, like, there's a very specific song that they allude to, and like they show the very moment that he's like, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you're just like, fucking shut up, that's not how music is made.
Yeah. And you know, not to I mean, not to jump back into Terminator, but there's a lot of fan service in this movie, and the one of the moments that made me in my head roll my eyes and go fuck you is when the Kyle Reese goes, come with me if you want to live. It's just like, fuck you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and then also, especially terrible, you know what I'm going to say, right, is the Christian Bale, when she's like, what do I tell your men? Tell them I'll be back.
fuck oh, I you. Missed
that one. Oh, yeah, no, as he's about to leave to go try to destroy Skynet, she's like, do you have any last words? And he's like, I'll be back. It's just like, fuck you.
Yay!
Oh, this is fucking stupid. Anyway, but yeah, no, there's not really a moment where somebody's like, oh, hey, have you heard of Islam? And then Malcolm X is like, Islam, you say? Like, there's never a moment where that happens. And so it's very much, it puts his message first, and that was something that I really appreciated, because that's also something I really appreciate in other biopics. Namely the one that I know that you and I both really, really enjoy, which is I'm Not There, which
uh-huh.
is the Bob Dylan biopic, which is probably my favorite out of all the biopics I've seen. Anyway, yeah, no, Malcolm X, it's a good flick. If you get this chance, you should watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Netflix. It's 3.5 hours long.
Watch it like a mini series if you can't just watch it in one go.
Yeah, that's it. That's all. Okay, let's get into some trailers.
Trailers!
So, I jotted down three that we can talk about. First one, which is Wonder Woman 1984. Now,
1984.
Yes, and I do think it's really funny that in this kind of age of cashing in on nostalgia, that especially like 80s nostalgia, they've kind of stopped being subtle, and instead of coming up with, like, a clever title, which I think I would have hated more if they were, like, Wonder Woman 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, yeah, that joke is too, like, worn out anyway, so.
Instead, they just called it, they might as well just call it Wonder Woman in the 80s.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. The thing that killed me throughout the trailer was just that stupid fucking techno beat.
Nah. Oh, you mean Blue Monday?
Yeah.
You're terrible. But yeah. I'm more of an 80s fan than you are, so I appreciate that, but also, like, the whole 80s aesthetic has been overdone, like, a million times before. There's a few films that I like for it, but most time it's just bad.
Yeah. I will say, though, I was not a huge crazy fan of the first Wonder Woman. There was a lot of stuff that I liked. There was also a lot of stuff that I did not like. And after seeing the trailer for this, I feel more excited for this than I did before. And I think one of the big reasons is that there's no... I don't know. It doesn't look like there's a lot of crazy CGI. There's not a CGI lava monster running around. Which is always a plus.
Yes. Always a plus.
Always a plus. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on the Wonder Woman 1984 trailer?
I'll be very excited to see how they explain why Chris Pine is back as a... can't even remember his name. But he...
Steve.
Steve. Yeah, Steve.
I don't have any idea.
No,
am I right?
Steve. It's Steve. It's just a different last name. It's not Steve Rogers. It's Steve something.
Could it be Steve Rogers?
No. But, yeah, he's back. They haven't really revealed why he's back, but
Steve Trevor.
Steve Trevor.
Two first names.
And terrible. So, you know, that being funny, and I hope that there's a little bit more... It almost seems like he's just been resurrected or something. Because Wonder Woman is, like, explaining to him, like, modern art at the end of that trailer. And it's almost like, okay, so now he's the fish out of water. Like, she's not the one that is not up with the times. Yeah. She's explaining that to him. And that's, like, a good change of pace.
I was upset that modern art joke made me laugh. It was so stupid.
It's not good.
All right, let's talk about No Time to Die, the new James Bond movie.
Yay.
Which, I have not watched a lot of James Bond movies, and this one, I kind of feel like I need to start watching James Bond movies again.
Again? You should have never stopped, Jason.
I mostly just think this trailer was so surprising to me, because, I don't know if you heard, but they were discussing... Somebody asked, I don't know, the guy, whoever's in charge of the James Bond movies in Hollywood, somebody asked if James Bond would ever be black or a woman, and they were very adamant that there would never be a female or a black James Bond.
Uh-huh.
And now his partner is a black woman.
And she's a 00.
Yep, and she's a 00, which I thought was pretty fucking dope.
I think technically she's like 007 because I think James Bond is like presumed dead or something in the film for a while, and they replace him. They make her like the new 007, so
yeah,
it's a good way to get away with it.
I was kind of upset, though, over... There's a lot of self-referential moments, like when he walks into the building and they're like, name, and he's like, Bond.
I'm not going to say that, like, we have to, like, stand on some kind of, like, tradition or, like, sense of grandeur from, like, him saying his name like that, but also I kind of expect that. It's what you have to expect when you're a James Bond fan.
Yeah, I know. I just... That joke was really fucking stupid. And then the shot, too, of him turning and shooting at the camera. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I haven't watched enough James Bond movies.
It's all in good fun. They actually do, like, of all the intros where they show the gunshot where he turns and shoots the mm-hmm. presumably the person who's shooting him, that's at the very beginning of Casino Royale. Like, they do like a legitimate like scene where he does that, as opposed to just the thing where he's walking along and then shoots.
Well, I have not seen Casino Royale in a long time. Mm-hmm.
It's the black and white sequence at the beginning.
Gotcha. That is out of the very few James Bond movies I've seen. That's probably my favorite.
Very good.
All right, let's move on. Oh, I also wanted to say that the car with the twin submachine guns, or the twin machine guns in the lights, I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, so. I mean, at some point, James Bond is kind of like a parody of itself, but they're trying to be serious, but also trying to do, like, the cheesy stuff, and
mm-hmm.
honestly, that's why I'm going to say it. Skyrim, wow. I already
Skyfall?
Messed up. Skyfall? Garbage. Spectre is pretty good. People say Spectre is terrible. They can go away.
You can just go away. Alright, let's talk about the Black Widow trailer.
Yay.
Which it seems like you are significantly more excited for than I am.
And that was like a subdued yay, so.
I feel like this looks like a DC quality Marvel movie. I don't know. I'm still going to see it because it's a fucking Marvel movie, but
you are a slave.
Doesn't totally seem needed. Doesn't seem hugely interesting. I don't know.
I honestly think Black Widow probably could have been relegated to a Disney Plus show instead of a movie. But if this is the way we're going to do it, then I don't mind that dude from Stranger Things being like some weird wrestler, like Russian Captain America dude.
Yeah.
That made me happy, at least.
Oh, that their accents, though.
Terrible.
They're not good.
Terrible. Terrible.
Welcome home.
What are you doing here?
It's so fucking stupid.
Uh-huh.
It reminds me of when we were in... When Donnie and I were actors in high school, and we were in a play together. I had to learn to speak with a Russian accent, and I had to do that by speaking with a permanent marker stuck in my mouth.
I don't remember this.
I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, that was the director told me that to learn to speak Russian, or to learn to speak with a Russian accent, it helped to put a permanent marker in your mouth, like horizontally.
Between your teeth.
Yeah. And
just
then,
try to speak from there.
Yeah. And I mean, it helped.
There you go.
I don't know why it helped, but it did. So. Yeah. No, I don't know. It made me think of that, like how over the top my accent was in high school. Okay.
I just think there's been no standout film since Endgame, which there's only been two films, or by this one, it's going to only be two films, because Far From Home was the one that came out right after Endgame, and we're going to still be waiting a while for, like, the real hard hitter of, like, what happened, or, like, after Endgame.
Because, mm-hmm.
like, honestly, the one I'm looking forward to is Doctor Strange. And before that one comes out, there's not really much I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's whatevs, brah.
I guess. Well, that concludes Trailer Trash Talk.
TTT.
Triple T.
Let's talk about Terminator Salvation. Now, the reason we're talking about this movie... The reason we're talking about this movie is because when we did Terminator 3, two of our fans, one of whom has been on the show, Thompson and Hannah, were both very upset that I made negative comments about Terminator Salvation. And argued that it was a good film, and we were trying to figure out what to do this week, and so we decided, why not do this? And now here we are.
Sequel episode! So,
I remember fucking hating this movie more than anything in the world.
Hating
and I thought it was... Yeah, I hated it. I thought it was so boring, and I was so upset because I was on, like, I was riding Christian Bale's dick so hard when I was younger. Like, I just thought he was, like, the greatest actor in the world, could do no wrong. And then I watched this, and I was like, oh, buddy, what are you doing? There was another flick that he was in around this time, too, that was really, really bad, and I don't remember what it is.
The Machinist?
No, I really liked that. It was like another big Hollywood movie like this, but it wasn't this. I'm going to look it up real quick and see if I can find it.
The Prestige?
It was not The Prestige. It was... Shoot, maybe it was Public Enemies.
Uh-huh.
Because that was another one that I was really excited for, and then I saw it, and I was like, this is not good. I think that might be, yeah, that must be it.
Isn't that a Tony Scott film?
No, it was Michael Mann.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because of his weird camera. I hate when he films in that freaking camera.
Yeah.
Terrible.
But yeah, no, so... I did not like this movie. I was so bored the first time I watched it, and that's what I remember about it. Donnie, what do you remember about this movie? When was the last time you watched it?
I don't remember hating it, and I want to say the last time I watched it was very long time ago, because I remember it was definitely on DVD, and it was... Yeah, it was a very long time ago. I would want to say that it wasn't even in this... When did this film actually come out? It came out in the 2000s, right?
2009. Same year as Public Enemies.
I want to say that I probably haven't watched it since, like, the last decade.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty much 10 years that I'd watched it. And I didn't mind it back then, because I was like, oh, okay, it was fun, but, like... Ultimately, I thought, like, oh, what else can they really do? They're getting away from, you know, Arnold and, like, that storyline, which I think at the time I probably thought was a negative. But, you know, as time passes, maybe our thoughts change a little bit. Maybe our opinions change, Jason.
What?
I'm trying to say that
you have more love for this movie now than you did.
This movie I thought was fine before. Like, I wasn't super attached to the Terminator franchise, so I was like, oh, that was okay, I guess. But it definitely is better than I remember. And yeah, from there I think we can probably have a discussion.
Okay, so I will say that this time watching it, I really liked the first half. I think that the second half is still boring garbage. Mm. So, let's talk about it. And this is a movie that, if I remember correctly, much like Terminator Genisys, has the big reveal ruined in the trailer.
Uh-huh.
Which is pretty fucking stupid. So, Terminator Salvation, which I do want to say, I feel like I'm glad that they went in the direction of, oh, we're just going to show you the war between the machines and, I mean, basically what you said, they eliminated the need to show you Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
And to shoehorn in his character, which I very much appreciated. I really like the first half of this movie. I liked all the post-apocalyptic stuff, the feel. I liked I liked that, like, you know that it's a post-apocalyptic movie. Everybody who's watching it, like, you know that what's going to happen. And one of the things that, although I think it's kind of stupid, I really enjoyed, is that when Sam Worthington, which they make it kind of seem like, oh, he doesn't remember anything from before or during, like, he doesn't remember the world going to shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he wakes up and he's just, like, walking down the street looking at all, like, the destroyed buildings, and then he runs into a giant death machine and Kyle Reese, and he's just like, what's going on? And Kyle Reese is like, don't you know? Skynet ended the world. And he's just kind of like, okay.
It's like Judgment Day, now, man.
Now what?
Yeah, I remember that movie.
So that made me laugh really hard. I was like, this is fucking stupid. But at the same time, I really appreciate
it. 2018, man.
At the same time, I really appreciate it. Shut up. At the same time, I really appreciated it because it was like they didn't feel the need to be like, you don't remember Judgment Day when blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, They didn't have to monologue and over-explain every single piece of lore that has previously been brought up in the Terminator franchise.
Mm-hmm. They also did not... Yeah, they didn't really explain or re-explain any of it, other than saying John Connor is the savior of mankind.
Uh-huh.
And after watching this movie, I really kind of want to ask, is he, though?
He's not yet. I know, yeah. Because he's treated as, like, this foot soldier who is like, oh, everyone says you're going to be this big deal, but why don't you just shut up, John Connor? Because you're just do your job, and then, you know, you're like I said, you're just a soldier.
And he's got, like, a pirate radio broadcast that he does, mm-hmm. which I thought was really funny. I feel like today he would have a podcast or, like, a YouTube channel.
With John Connor?
Yeah. Mm. Like, if that movie were made today, it would be putting out a podcast. I'm John Connor, and I'm this week.
Yeah, that's bad. He's regularly doing those broadcasts, which is kind of funny, because it's like, oh, do you still have to try to communicate to people? People probably know there's a resistance. You either want to be, like, in the military, as it were, or you're just, like, scrounging to survive in this horrible, horrible post-apocalyptic desert.
And speaking of scrounging, I thought that... I feel like this movie came out... I feel like in the early 2000s, or mid-2000s, there were just, like, a slew of post-apocalyptic action movies. And they were all trying to, like, out-post-apocalyptic each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple moments in this movie that really remind me of that, like when Kyle or Anton Yelchin as Kyle Reese is like, "Where'd you get that jacket? It's got red on it. That means blood. That means you bleed." And I was just like, "Fuck you, eat a dick." But like that, and then the when he cooks Sam Worthington. Whose name is Marcus, right? Marcus mm-hmm. Wright?
Marcus Wright.
When he's cooking him food and he's like, it's two-day coyote meat, and he's like, and he gives him that weird look, and then he's like, it's better than three-day-old coyote meat. Or something. It's just like, this is so fucking stupid. Okay, so, but yeah, I really liked the first half. I'm glad that they kept with the tradition from Terminator 3 of keeping John Connor as kind of a dunce. Not really a dunce, but just like, I don't know, not...
An aloof fool?
Not like this godlike warrior.
Yeah, he's just trying to do the best that he can, man.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's a lot of stuff that I really like, and then the second half takes over, and that's when you find out or it realize that Sam Worthington is in fact a Terminator. or whatever, machine, who is unaware of the fact that he is a machine, and screams about this fact, like, 8 times. Because they hang him up, and there's a couple of times where it's like each time he looks down and sees his metal body, he's just like, no!
He does it multiple times during that scene, yes.
He does, and he does it later because they even leave him for a while, like the camera leaves him, and then it comes back and Common's torturing him, and then I can't remember her name, but the actress's name, but what's her face comes in, and he like looks down at his body again, and he's like, no! It's just like, there has been a significant amount of time, like, this is not...
You have been able to adjust, settle down.
Yeah. I was also really upset that, like, the machines, so they get Kyle Reese, and he's, like, number one on their kill list. And so the machines get him, and instead of just immediately killing him, they put him in a prison cell.
Yes.
Or no, they put him in a slightly smaller prison cell than he was in before.
Because Skynet wanted the Resistance to think that Kyle Reese was the number one, and then they used Kyle Reese and Marcus Wright to lure John Connor to his inevitable doom, which seems like a horribly convoluted plan and doesn't seem like it actually turned out very well, even though, like, I think it only because of people's idiocy. And this is, like, movie idiocy, where, like, okay, this person has to be stupid right now, because otherwise we probably don't have a third act to this film, and we can't get into any of the action scenes. Because if people were to do this, like, smartly, which I honestly am not smart enough to think up a new third act to this film, but it's definitely smarter than, you know, what the characters were doing. Like, let's go to the Skynet Central... Because John Connor is someone who always wants to save people. He doesn't want to, like, sacrifice the lives of a lot of people that they have captured there just to, you know, destroy Skynet's one of its central locations.
Yeah. And I don't know. I really don't like the... Everything after you find out Sam Worthington is a robot is fucking stupid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they think, like, everything makes sense up to that point, and, like, narratively it all works, and, like, it's all pretty well constructed, but then, you know, that's the thing, is, like, that was pretty much the movie, and then they had to figure out, okay, how do we wrap this up? Because it's, with these films, it seems like it's always, I feel like that was maybe, because I want to say, this is a better film than Terminator 3, but, like, Terminator 3, like, has that problem where I feel like they do some interesting things for, like, the first two-thirds of the movie, and then the last one, you're just like, oh, okay, so the Terminators are here. They're gonna fight. Okay. Now they go to another location, and then they fight. And then they're over here now, and they're fighting. And then John's running and yelling about how he loves the Terminator, which I was thankful didn't get any of that in this movie. Like, they didn't, like play up his, like, connection. They were just like, hey, John Connor is just this dude that you know about his past. He's just, like, he's a soldier now. Like, he's not a little kid who's, like, manipulated by this stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't really linger on it.
I also, think... I thought that one of the weirdest or most awkward exchanges in this film for me is when Kyle Reese gets in the elevator and John Connor jumps out of it at the last second. And then Kyle Reese is like, I won't let you down or something like that. And John Connor is like, you already didn't. And it's just like...
I must have really turned off my brain because I do not remember that.
Yeah, he says something like that, and I was like, wow, you basically just fist bumped this dude for fucking your mom. Like, this is so stupid.
It's his dad, man.
I know, but still. Yeah, you know, you want to know how many times I've gone up to my dad and been like, thanks for banging my mom. Zero. I have never done that.
What the fuck? That's cool.
Maybe
isn't
I
that
start.
Father's Day?
I guess. I don't know. Yeah, no, it's just the last chunk of this movie just turns into a very generic, like, CGI. It's very big. I think one of the things that I appreciate so much about the first half of this movie is that a lot of the action scenes we do get feel very small, at least for... and what I mean by that is, like, on a movie of this scale, and considering that it's the fourth Terminator movie and that it's supposed to be a war flick where it's humans fighting these huge metalized skeletons, it feels much smaller... And, I don't know, metalized snakes, apparently. Uh-huh. It feels
smaller. They're like Hydro Terminators.
Yeah. It feels smaller than you think it would. And that was something that I really appreciated. And then the last chunk, even, and just, I mean, odd off comment, the green screening in this movie is atrocious.
It's not good.
But I really liked that feel, and then the second half comes, and it's just, like, big, crazy CGI action fest. And I was just like, oh, this is so stupid. Yeah. Also, did you, I felt like I heard it a lot, and maybe it's just in my head, but did you hear Bale doing his Batman voice?
Yeah.
A lot?
Mm-hmm.
Like, too much.
Like, he's like, oh, no! It's, yeah, I don't know if he was, like, that was what he didn't have to do that, I think, and I think you're probably saying that, I mean, it does sound like his Batman voice, mm-hmm. He's like, where are the drugs? But
where's Kyle? Where is he?
Where's Kyle Reese? But I think...
We're the Lords of Chaos! Lord okay, of I'll chaos. Stop.
I think it's mostly, well, like, I think I know what he was going for. Like, he's this grizzled soldier who is, like, hardened by the post-apocalypse, you know, and the battle against the machines. But he could have, like, maybe done something a little bit different.
I'm so jaded and I miss my mom. And my new best friend is a robot.
I feel like he slips into it for now and then, but I don't think he does it throughout the entire movie, which is kind of okay.
No.
Like, when he's talking to Kate, at least, then it's fine. Like, and maybe that's just because he's not talking to soldiers.
And, which, speaking of actors and actresses that I really enjoy that I think pick really bad movies to be in,
Bryce Dallas Howard
is in this movie and doesn't have a whole lot to do other than look shocked at stuff.
Mm-hmm. Which, honestly, she looked pretty shocked.
She did.
Yeah.
she did a great job at looking shocked.
Especially that time when she looked down at Sam Worthington's character and was just like, let's see what we got, and then, like, ripped open her shirt or whatever, and then you just see her eyes, which, honestly, that's a very effective scene, but also, she does it in every scene.
She does.
It's like, excuse me?
This movie.
I just wanted John Connor to turn to her and be like, that's why I married you.
You kind of look like Claire Danes before. Things.
Yeah.
Your childlike mentality.
Which, honestly, that's what Claire Danes did for the entirety of Terminator 3 as the character, which she just looked shocked the entire time.
Yeah.
So it's fitting with the character.
I guess.
It's very consistent, right. Jason. There are rules, and they follow them.
It's just the layers to her performance, right?
Yeah.
She looked shocked all the time, so I will look shocked all the time.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I feel like we spent a lot of time talking about the things that we did not particularly care for in this movie.
Uh-huh.
So, I will happily cop to... Oh, I have one other thing that I just quickly... I can't not bring up. Which is the fact that this director's name is McG.
You haven't heard of McGee?
Nope.
He is famous for the Charlie's Angels films. That's like his claim to fame. That was like his first, because he like was music videos. Like
yeah, I looked him up because I was curious.
He comes from the same like background as like David Fincher does, but David Fincher like obviously kind of like did other things when he finally went into directing film. But McGee, like, he has a very specific style, which is like Michael Bay light. Like, he...
It's a good way to describe it.
He is a little, like... I want to say he's a little bit...
more subtle?
He's more subtle with characters than Michael Bay is. Michael Bay is just, like, is very clearly caricatures. But, like, when I think McGee is directing, like, he's not, like, pushing that as much. Although you could probably go back to those Charlie's Angels films and completely, like, prove me wrong.
I still enjoy the first one. The second one I do not care for personally.
It's known as a bad movie for a reason. But also he has done a lot of television too, which I think is where he gets I think he does a lot of good work on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that's more his medium than film. And he did The Babysitter on Netflix. Which should be like He kind of wants to be like poppy and like mainstream blockbuster, but he's just a little bit. It's a little bit overwhelming for him. It seems like he just can barely do the thing that he wants to do, and it seems pretty competent, but he can't like. He doesn't quite put his stamp on it the way that you think like a director who comes from like music videos would.
Yeah, he's not a Jonas Åkerlund.
No, of course not.
Speaking of the Lords of Chaos. I hope that's how you say his name. Okay. Anyway. There's stuff that I really liked about this movie. I liked it a lot more than I was expecting to, especially the first half. Like I said, I still don't particularly care for everything that happens after the reveal that Sam Worthington's a robot. Mm-hmm. I liked that, like I said, I liked that the action feels so small. I thought they did a good job with the post-apocalyptic feel of everything. I thought that everybody was doing the best with what they had in terms of turning out decent performances. My wife is currently crawling on the floor looking for something. And it is colored pencils. Nope, it's a coloring book. This is fascinating.
This is an audio podcast.
Visual jokes on an audio medium.
It's wonderful.
Caitlin got a coloring book about mermaids.
That's good.
That I think I got her. I did. Anyway. Alright. But like I said, there is a lot of stuff that I genuinely enjoyed about this movie. I thought that they nailed the tone most of the time. I thought that they told the story in a mostly interesting way. I thought that the smaller action sequences felt more reminiscent of the first two Terminator movies, because as much as those are action movies, they are also very much like character studies of the, I don't know, I guess the human condition, and kind of, you know, especially the second one, John teaching the T-800 how to feel. And then, I don't know, the second half just kind of throws everything out the window for me. So that was everything that I liked about the first half. And I actually really enjoyed and was really disappointed when it just kind of felt like it was going straight downhill.
Okay. Yeah,
so that's what I thought. I really, and when I texted you, because I know I sent you that message, and I was like,
hey,
I'm rewatching.
This is actually as bad as I was expecting.
I was like, this is actually pretty good. And then I think immediately after I texted you, Sam Worthington was revealed to not be to not be a human, and then just I was.
But he is human, like, oh. Jason. He's part machine.
He's free. Like, he's free juice.
He's an executed convict who we're not sure what his crime is, but parts of his body, so he's like a cyborg. He's not a straight-up Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
And he his heart and at least half of his brain is placed inside a cybernetic body to create, is an experiment from Cyberdyne, from Skynet. Which I suppose when I think about the progression between Terminator films and Terminators, I think this is mm-hmm. probably one of the more interesting ways to go when it comes, as opposed to we got a metal man, we got a liquid metal man, we got a hard metal liquid lady with a laser beam gun, and you're like, okay, stop, please. And then next one, you're just like, there's this Terminator who thinks it's human, and it's half human and it's half Terminator, and you're like, oh, okay, all right,
okay. And it will be free to choose.
Be free to choose. Yes. And
that whole scene is so fucking stupid.
Are you still talking about the reveal scene?
When he confronts the AI of Skynet about his origins, which is embodied by Helena Bonham Carter as well as every other character that he's met up to that point.
Yeah.
I that scene just does not work for me. And there's a number of reasons why. The biggest among them being that it's so over the top dramatic that it just kind of feels silly. Also frustrating that you don't really get, I don't know, I didn't feel satisfied with the answers that they provided. And then I also just, I don't know, the fact that immediately after they get done conversing, his next response is to throw a chair through the computer monitor.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it also just felt very much like, because in the same way, you know, there's a bunch of post-apocalyptic movies about like, oh, what does it mean to truly be human? And I think that one of the biggest offenders, to me at least, was I Am Legend. Okay. I really don't care for that film. I really, really enjoy the book. I do not care for the movie. And it felt like this was trying to outdo, like that was one of the movies that they were trying to outdo.
Yeah, it was about that time, right?
Yeah, I gotta look now because I don't want to.
It's around the end of the decade, so I'm sure it's close.
Yeah, the movie came out in 2007.
Okay, yep. Wow. That was such a great year for movies. And that was a stinker.
Yeah, it's not great. So, I don't know. Like I said, a lot of stuff that I really like in the first half of this movie. A lot of stuff I really don't care for.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a pretty great way to sum it up. Would I watch it again? Maybe. Would I turn it off halfway through? Probably.
I'll watch it. But I'm a trash person.
Donnie's here for all of it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's just because, like, I'm able to take the transition a lot better, because, like, I have the expectation that it's not going to be that good, and when it hits that second half, I know that it's going to turn into a different movie of lesser quality, so I guess I'm, like, bracing or, like, expecting that,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, also, you know, it could just be because I have trash taste. Also, I think we both agree, Sam Worthington probably gets too much shit for being like generic dude with mm-hmm. stubble and a handsome gentleman, but like, because like I hear like he is interchangeable with like Jai Courtney, and then that dude who was in Prometheus, like they say that they're kind of like interchangeable, but I don't know, Sam Worthington's good, he's fine, good, he's good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that I include Common in this statement. I think everybody that's in this movie is above this movie.
True. But everybody wanted to be a part of the franchise. Or at least they had a nice paycheck, you know? It's nice. It's good for everyone.
That's true.
Except for us.
Yeah, those of us that actually have to watch the movie.
All right.
We're the true sufferers.
I would recommend people watch this. I think it's a good movie.
It's
better
say
than three.
It is better. Well, I don't know. I feel like I enjoyed all of three pretty consistently. And
I think that movie was too jokey. I think there's too many, like...
No. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that, like, oh, I love Rise of the Machines. I'm saying that I enjoyed the whole... Like, overall, I liked Terminator 3. And But I liked it, like, at the same consistent level throughout the whole movie.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, this one, I really liked the first half, and then it was a pretty straight cliff dive... or nosedive down after that.
Okay. That's fair.
So that's what I was trying to say. Like, I do think that the first half of this movie is far superior to Rise of the Machines.
Uh-huh.
However, I don't know. I don't know that I would say that about the second half, because I really didn't care for the second half of this movie. And I think that part of that, or most of that, might be from the fact that I just liked the first half so much. And that I felt so let down by the second half.
Right on.
I don't know. So. But. Yeah. I don't know. Terminator Salvation. It's a. I would also quickly like to throw out that my favorite scenes of the film were Kyle Reese and Sam Worthington just kind of, you know, wandering around.
Mm-hmm.
I thought those were the parts that were most fun to watch. I also, I really liked the cast in this movie, and I felt bummed that Anton Yelchin didn't get more screen time, because I thought he was really, really good, and wasn't given... I mean, no, it's the same case as everybody else. They're not given a whole lot to do.
Yeah.
And they're doing the best with what they have.
Uh-huh.
So, that's... Yeah, I think that's all I have to say about Terminator Salvation. Other than, if there were to be a sequel to this movie, and I don't mean Genisys, and I don't mean Dark Fate. I mean, if there was to be a straight-up sequel to Salvation...
Which there was going to be. This was supposed mm-hmm. to be the first in a new trilogy of, like, the Future War trilogy, not just, like, mm-hmm. present-day Terminator set back in time to kill someone. This was supposed to be a new trilogy.
So, for you, where would the sequel go?
So, you can't bring back... I'm like debating with myself whether or not a sequel would bring back Sam Worthington, like,
mm-hmm.
like, because did that for like the first trilogy, as it were, where like the reason why they bring back, like Arnold is to exploit John Connor's, you know, emotional attachment to them, mm-hmm. and that's like why he, you know, and that's like why he gets killed in the future in Terminator 3. So, like, I feel like that would be an interesting choice, is to bring back someone who was a friend, and then have Sam Worthington come back as a villain. It wouldn't obviously be him, because, like, the real him died.
Mm-hmm.
He gave his heart to John Connor, and then... But honestly, if I were to do a sequel, it would probably not have him in it.
Yeah. I mean, if Hollywood legitimately had made a sequel to this movie, he would have been in it.
Right.
I don't know how they would have justified it, but he would have been in it.
No, but they're justifying different reasons for different franchises to have the same people in them, even if the characters die. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we live in a modern era of comic book films where this can happen on a regular basis. But I think, and this might go into spoilers for Dark Fate a little bit, but I think the second movie might have... I think it would be interesting to go in the direction of going like, oh, what if there were actually like a whole bunch of people who were like Sam Worthington's character, where they're part human and like part machine to some extent, and they kind of deal with that aspect in Dark Fate, so they took aspects of that. I think it would just be have been interesting to see that in a new trilogy for like post-apocalyptic trilogy that this was supposed to be the first of. Also, I think it would have been interesting to have probably pass the baton off to like, because would you say that Marcus Wright is the main character of Salvation, or would you say it was John Connor?
I mean, I think it's both. I think that Marcus Wright and I think that he has more to do in the movie. And or that Sam Worthington has more to do in the movie than Christian Bale does, and so I think that he steals the show. So I would, if I had to pick between the two, I would definitely say Marcus is the main character.
Okay. Because I think that would be interesting to just like keep on that like theme of like not having John Connor have his own film, like have him like matched on an equal level with like a co-star, as it were, and you know, whatever form that might be, you know, it we'll never know, but if we're talking theoretically, like it could be any number of things. Maybe centering more on Kyle Reese, since he is a side character in here, have a little bit more backstory and stuff like that, seeing their relationship kind of move on, and then actually show why he, like, they're such good friends when he sends him back and stuff like that. That I think that would probably be what I'd want to see in a sequel, is like essentially not a buddy cop film, but like you know, like they need to move because after the end of Salvation they have to like keep moving because Skynet is like even more on their trail than ever, and like they're just kind of like getting to know each other more, like on the road as they're trying to like, I don't know, build back up the resistance.
Yeah.
So that would be my idea.
Yeah, I think I'd go in a similar direction. I think that it would. I don't think that I would bring Marcus back, because they're, I mean, as interesting of a character as he is, I don't think there's any reason to or logical way to, because he blows up. So I would just kind of make it about John and Kyle going around and trying to, like you said, build up the resistance, maybe recruiting some of the civilians. Maybe they come across a guy who is wearing a leather jacket and driving a really cool muscle car.
I don't like this.
Who's Australian.
Uh-huh.
And his name is Max.
Uh-huh.
And that's about as far as I got. That's just where it ends. At the end of the movie, they get saved by a guy in a leather jacket, and they're like, "What's your name?" And he's like, "Max." Oh my God. And I'm mad, or I'm angry. I love that you take genuine time to think this stuff through, and I really appreciate it. And I hate that I turn every single what if sequel into a fucking joke.
What if it was in space?
What if Terminator in space?
Well, honestly, let's just say that we're not too far away from Alien versus Predator versus Terminator. So
versus Ash.
Versus
versus Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was going to make this really great joke at the beginning of the podcast where I was like, we are recording on Friday the 13th, so you know what that means, kids. We're talking about Terminator.
Yes. Yes, we are. Terminator. All right. Now that we've gotten the show out of the way,
thank God.
I have some shit that I've been digging lately that Jason I just want to throw out there. Jason's got some shit. I've been listening to, I think her name's Kina Gravis, who is a folk singer that I really like and I've been digging. Her cover of Bad Blood is in Big Mouth Season 3. And I've also been listening to MF Doom and Czarface, which one is a rapper, the other is a rap duo. And I've been digging both those guys. So, you know, if you've never heard of them, go check them out. And then also, Silicon Valley, the TV show, just wrapped up its final season. And I am a pretty huge fan of Silicon Valley. I was a little disappointed in the last episode, even though, I don't know. I feel like it's hard to properly wrap up a comedy. Just because you want it to keep going, because it's a comedies are very different from dramas, because dramas are very narrative based, whereas comedies are usually very episode to episode. And although Silicon Valley does have a very definite narrative that it follows, the star is the humor, and I don't know. They leave it in a very strange place to me. And I liked it, and I enjoyed the last season for the most part. I don't know. They end it in a very odd way, and I don't know that it was for me.
Okay.
But if you've never seen Silicon Valley, it's still worth watching. It's absolutely hilarious. And if you really need a reason to watch it, just look up on YouTube. There's a really great scene of them trying to mathematically determine how fast you could jerk off every single guy in an audience. So if you type in Silicon Valley jerk, they'll probably pop up. And it's pretty fucking funny. So, yeah. Check it out. It's great. Donnie, you got anything?
Not too much, really. Other than, I will... I'm trying to... I want to get back into either reading or watching or playing something that's based on Alien, because I'm jonesing for an Alien quality Alien thing that I've not experienced before, and I didn't get really far into. Oh no! Oh God! Get it away from me! Jason had, what was that? Is that a coaster or something?
No, it's a face hugger pin.
Oh, it's a face hugger pin. Yes. Mm-hmm. Please get it away from my face. You know what those things do. I've been wanting to get into something a little bit. Something that I haven't experienced a whole bunch of, and I started playing Alien Isolation a long time ago, but I didn't actually like get very far into it. Gonna start playing that again, and I will follow up on my thoughts, because it isn't necessarily my type of game, because it seems like it could be very frustrating, but I do want to give it a shot, because everything else about that game seems very, very well made and very scary. And I need that in my life right now, especially around Christmas.
I watched my roommate, or former roommate, Ben, play it, and he really, really liked it, and I really enjoyed what I saw of it, so.
Yeah.
That. All right, you can follow the show on the Facebook, which I operate. You can follow the show on the Twitter, which Donnie operates.
Uh-huh.
And you can follow the show on the Instagram, which Riley operates.
Uh-huh.
And Donnie.
Yep.
Have you watched Source Code yet? The collective Jace are dying to know.
No, sorry, I could only watch one Jake Gyllenhaal movie a year, and we did Donnie Darko, so check back next year. Have you watched
Alpha? I have not.
No?
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Maybe someday. Maybe someday.
It's never gonna happen, Jason.
It might.
Okay.
I'm going to surprise you.
That'll be the end of the world. That'll be Judgment Day.
Did you watch Alpha? did you watch Alpha? Yes. Just everything starts exploding.
Just that scene from Terminator 2 where the skeleton's hanging onto the fence. It's just a big mushroom cloud that has in really boldface type Alpha on it. It'll be good.
One of my favorite jokes in Big Mouth is whenever a character says something that's very surprising to another character, that character's head will just explode.
Mm-hmm. It's a good trope. Just, I like it.
That'll happen. all over, everywhere. It'll be like the end of Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Ah, yes. A classic.
All right.
Find that episode if you can. It's still online somewhere.
Don't give them any hints. All right. Yeah, thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you so much to Dr. Tub Thumper and Pralix for the music and for the art. Thank you so much, you, the audience, the collective Jace, for listening to our show. Please tell your friends about our stupid show because they are likely stupid too, so they will probably enjoy it. And yeah, subscribe or however this works. Give us good reviews on whatever you're listening to this show on, and do all the things that all the other really good podcast hosts tell you to do, because I'm too lazy to do anything other than to tell you to hail Satan and watch more movies.
Yes, hail Satan! Throw up the horns, good. Brothers.
Goodbye.